You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the herb. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, May 25th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. So glad to have you here, and we got a jam-packed episode for you today. Coming up on the show, we've got our Voice of the Industry segment from National Cannabis Industries Association. Tim Hayde will be joining us. He's a former Air Force officer who's gotten into the cannabis movement by providing solutions for microgrid energy techniques. Very interesting stuff. Check that out coming up in our first segment. In drug war data mining today, we're going to take a look at the thinning agents used in vape pens. I brought this up on the news a few episodes ago, but today we're speaking with the actual researchers from Harvest Inc. that came up with this study on the thinning agents in vape pens. Also on the show, in Cannabis Sports Medicine, the debut of our new segment featuring the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition, we've got audio of former NFL players Marvin Washington, Jim McMahon, and Ricky Williams, all appearing last year in Fort Worth, Texas, discussing the need for the NFL to move past opiates and on to medical cannabis. Then we'll have time for a radical rant where I'll update you on things you didn't know about that body-slamming Republican candidate in Montana. But we'll start everything off with the cannabis headline news from MarijuanaMoment.net. And in the big story, Vermont legalization may not be dead after all. I feel happy. All that coming up next.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
It's time for cannabis facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Cannabis Sports Medicine from the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
This is your cannabis headline news. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Thursday, May 25th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. Tom Angel at Massroots reports that despite Governor Phil Scott's veto, marijuana legalization may still be possible this summer in Vermont. In a press conference, the governor said he is returning the bill to lawmakers with suggestions for amendments which he says would provide, quote, a way forward, end quote, for legalization in the state. The legislature is expected to meet for a session to consider possible override votes on the budget and other matters next month. If lawmakers adopt Scott's recommended changes then, he says he'd be willing to sign the bill into law. In particular, the governor wants three main changes to the bill. First, he wants tougher penalties for selling or giving marijuana to minors. Second, he wants to, quote, more aggressively penalize, end quote, driving under the influence or consuming in the presence of minors. And third, he wants, quote, broader membership, end quote, of the Tax and Regulate Study Commission to include members of the law enforcement and rehab communities. The Inspectors General of the U.S. Department of Justice and U.S. Department of State found that the Drug Enforcement Administration's explanations of deadly drug interdiction missions in Honduras were, quote, unsupported by the available evidence, end quote. The DEA also, quote, failed to timely produce numerous responsive emails of certain senior DEA officials without justification, end quote. The inspectors also cited that DEA, quote, inappropriately and unjustifiably withheld information from the U.S. ambassador to Honduras and provided inaccurate and incomplete information to DOJ leadership and Congress, end quote. The report details how DEA officials conducting Operation Anvil, a mission to stop cocaine smuggling in Central America, fired upon a passenger boat, killing four Hondurans and injuring four more. DEA claimed the passenger boat fired first, but inspectors concluded there was, quote, no credible evidence that individuals in the passenger boat fired and serious questions whether there was any gunfire from the passenger boat at any time. The French government is considering the decriminalization of marijuana for personal use, and a leading French police union backs the move. Interior Minister Gérard Collomb said on French television that the plan would be introduced, quote, within 3 to 4 months, end quote. A police union, UNSA, welcomed the announcement, quote, the minister, by endorsing this long-standing union demand, responds to a strong demand for simplification and lightening of work without sacrificing efficiency, end quote, said Philippe Capone, Secretary General of the UNSA, in a statement, adding that arrests of cannabis consumers for small amounts have, quote, been too cumbersome in the light of criminal penalties and too time-consuming for the police and demonstrated the least effectiveness in the fight against trafficking, end quote. In 2014, 17 million people said they had taken cannabis in their lives in France, and 700,000 would use it daily, according to the French Monitoring Center for Drugs and Drug Addiction. Current penalties in France include fines up to 3,750 euros and the possibility of a year in prison. Fact-checkers have called out Arizona Governor Steve Ducey for, quote, unsupported, end quote, comments he made on April 20th in Atlanta at an anti-marijuana legalization summit hosted by Project SAM. Ducey had said that after the, quote, enforcement bureaucracy and the social cost of legalization, end quote, that was proposed and defeated in 2016 in Arizona, quote, there would be no money for our schools, end quote, calling the Prop 205 initiative, quote, a net financial loser for our state, end quote. State estimates concluded that passing Prop 205 meant, quote, $69.6 million would be available for distribution to schools and DHS, end quote. Ducey was extrapolating from a SAM position paper on Rhode Island that claims costs from, quote, increased ER visits, marijuana concentrate extraction lab explosions, and employee absenteeism, end quote, would outpace any tax revenue received. For the next biennium, Washington State is expecting $730 million in tax revenue. Colorado is expecting $105 million in 2017 alone, with over $54 million going to schools. And Oregon is expecting $3.7 million in tax revenue per month, 40% of which goes to schools. GW Pharmaceuticals is also set to file its cannabis-derived drug with U.S. regulators and the FDA. Epidiolex is reported to have cut seizures by 39% in children with Dravet syndrome. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Thursday, May 25th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
At Herbie.
Murphy's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all respected customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Cultivator's Corner with Jorge Cervantes from MarijuanaGrowing.com. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
The National Cannabis Industry Association is the leader in the emerging world of marijuana business. Today, we feature highlights from NCIA's successful podcast on CannabisRadio.com. To bring attention to the issues and entrepreneurs creating the fastest growing industry on earth. Learn more as we take a listen to the voice of the industry.
Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Cannabusiness Chronicles. As we continue our fight to end adult cannabis prohibition, one of the major concerns that has occurred here is the problem of indoor cultivation, and namely the amount of energy it takes to try to reproduce the sun as well as the wind indoors. And we've got a very interesting guest to discuss this situation with us. A former Air Force captain, Tim Hayde, is joining us by telephone. Tim, welcome to the show.
How are you, Russ? Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm doing fantastic, and I understand you've got some interesting perspective on this issue of energy consumption in the field of cannabis cultivation. So how does an Air Force captain come around to that arena? What's your background in this?
Sure. So it's somewhat of a long story, but I was indeed an active duty Air Force officer. Ended up getting out of the military in 2010. Went to grad school, and while I was at grad school, developed a passion for clean technology and working in the clean technology industry. So 2012, I joined a relatively small clean tech company that specializes in a technology called cogeneration. I worked there for the last 5 years. And then a few years ago, I started really to get interested in the issue of energy consumption in the cannabis cultivation space. By that time, our company had been acquired by a larger multinational firm. And as you might imagine, when I went to them and told them that I wanted to take myself and my resources and devote them to the cannabis industry, They weren't exactly thrilled about it. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up starting our own company to bring clean tech into the cannabis space. And our company, Scale Microgrid Solutions, was officially incorporated in October of 2016, and we're off and running. So happy to be a part of the industry.
So this sets up kind of an interesting dynamic, and I don't know a whole lot about the energy industry, but it would seem to me that if I'm one of these big energy companies, I'm thrilled with cannabis becoming legal because then I got more customers buying more of my product. So do they see you guys as a competitor, or do they see these as something that's, you know, beneficial for the planet?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. There's not a single response. You know, one of the things I think people are kind of shocked to hear sometimes is that the United States has 3,000 independent utility companies, and they don't always agree on everything. And so, for sure, there are definitely utilities out there that see cannabis and cannabis legalization as load growth, and they're very excited by the prospects because, as you mentioned, they make money selling electricity, and the cannabis industry tends to consume a lot of electricity. But there's really been a shift in sort of the way utilities are looking at things that's still in the early stages, but is very much ongoing. And really that comes down to how they think about climate change and how they think about grid modernization. The two challenges that are facing the electric sector right now. The first is that electric generation represents about a third of greenhouse gas emissions coming from the United States, and it's the area where we have the most potential to mitigate that. And so utilities, either self-driven or via political or community pressure, really have to think about their carbon footprint these days. And for utilities that are really thinking about that, load growth from any sector, but the cannabis sector in particular, might not be a good thing. And then the second sort of challenge facing the electric industry is grid modernization. And so most of our electric infrastructure is approaching the end of its useful life. And so what we're going to have to do over the next 10, 15, 20 years is really rebuild a lot of that. That becomes a lot harder to do when new industries pop up that sort of change the calculations. And so that causes some concerns for electric utilities as well. On average, I don't think that there are a lot of electric utilities that are lobbying against legalization or, you know, really opposed to it. There are some that like it, but more or less, they're just kind of neutral. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're trying to change, because what our sort of core business philosophy is that we have to accept the fact that the cannabis industry is consuming a lot of power, and then be thoughtful about how we deal with it. And if we deal with it in a thoughtful way, you know, I think we can sort of build a bunch of win-win scenarios.
Yeah, it's interesting how the incentives might work politically as well. In the cannabis space right now, we have a situation where in Colorado, they require all of this growing to happen indoors. And of course, that increases the load. Out here in Oregon, where I'm at, we allow for outdoor cultivation in greenhouses, which could have less of an impact. So it'd be interesting to see how the lobbying and how the laws get shaped based on input from the energy industry on this. I'm also interested with what you said about the grid and how our electrical infrastructure, along with a lot of our infrastructure across this country, is really dilapidated. So what is this concept that you guys are involved with, this microgrid idea? What's that all about?
Yeah, sure. So I think you brought up a few interesting points, and let me sort of tackle them one by one. So the first thing is there are definitely smarter ways we can go about regulating the cannabis industry from a policy standpoint. And I think, as you mentioned, there's sort of three predominant ways that you can grow, outdoor, indoor, and greenhouse grows. Now, today, 70% of legal marijuana in the United States that's produced by volume comes from either indoor or greenhouse grows. And I think that's really unlikely to change, in large part because we have state-by-state legalization and making a compelling economic case for people growing outside in states like Massachusetts and Maine is a lot more difficult. Obviously, on the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington, that should be and is a larger part of the industry. But one of the things I think people sort of jump to a conclusion about is that if we can shift growing from indoor grows to greenhouse grows, that's kind of what we need to do to solve the problem. And that's really not true. It's, you know, there's a lot of complicated math that goes into this, but at a high level, on a per pound basis, you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of a 40 to 60% reduction in energy consumption with a greenhouse model as opposed to an indoor model. And that's substantial. Don't get me wrong. I'd like to see the greenhouse industry, you know, grab a bigger chunk of the market. But even at that level, it's still a big energy hog, and there's still a lot of stuff that we can do. And so what our company does, as you mentioned, is we build microgrids. And essentially what microgrids are on-site power plants that produce electricity for the facility on-site. And so our particular microgrid concept that we designed for the cannabis industry uses a combination of three core technologies. The first is solar. We try to deploy as much rooftop and car park solar as possible on any given site. The second core technology we use is energy storage. And essentially, we're using our lithium-ion batteries that store excess solar capacity when that opportunity exists. And then the third technology we're using is, which I mentioned before, is natural gas cogeneration. And the way that process works is, you're using natural gas just like a natural gas power plant would. But in a natural gas power plant, about 40% of the potential energy of the fuel is turned into electricity, and the other 60% is turned into heat. Now, in a big central power plant, you don't really have a use for that heat, so it just goes up the chimney and out into the environment. What we actually do is we take that heat and we run it through a process called absorption chilling, which produces chilled water. That chilled water then directly offsets the need for electric chilling on the site. And so in essence, it's the most efficient way that a cultivator can use natural gas. And when you put all these technologies together and we do all the packaging in the factory, deliver it to a site in two or three boxes and get you up and running. And when you do that, you see three benefits. The first is from an environmental standpoint, we're going to save the average cultivation facility between 25 and 35% on their greenhouse gas emissions. The second thing is we're going to reduce their electric bill by 15 to 25%. And then the third thing is it provides on-site resiliency. Obviously, a big fear of an indoor or a greenhouse owner-operator is during a power outage, if a power outage extends, you know, 24, 48 hours, you start to get real concerned about crop loss. And when you have on-site generation capability, you could turn that on and prevent that crop loss from occurring. So we think it's a really great value proposition, and we're excited to, you know, really start working with the cannabis industry to deploy this at scale.
No, that's fantastic news there. And of course, in the cannabis industry, the people that are involved in it, I think, just a guess of mine, are usually a little more environmentally conscious than I would think most companies would be. And so this sounds like a perfect solution for them. I'm wondering, politically speaking, you know, with the new administration coming in, are there any hurdles, or do you think this is going to seriously impact your business model and how people are turning to these clean technology solutions?
So the short answer is no. I mean, you know, the first thing I want to point out, and if you kind of look at my resume, I'm an unlikely candidate. I never thought I would be part of the cannabis industry.
Yeah.
I love it. And two reasons I love it. The first is really good people. And I think, you know, to your point with you know, cannabis industry professionals being more environmentally friendly, absolutely, I found that to be the case. But even more so than that, I've just found that generally speaking, they're just good people who are good people to do business with and have professional relationships with. But the second thing is it's kind of a win-win because it's also in their economic best interest. So, you know, a lot of these indoor grow facilities, you know, 20 to 40% of their operating costs are energy. And so if we can reduce that energy bill substantially, you're going to be able to put, you know, high quality product on the market at a lower price. And obviously, you know, we keep seeing in states where the markets are becoming increasingly price sensitive. On the you know, clean technology under the new administration standpoint, I actually see a lot of parallels between, you know, the debate over cannabis and the debate over clean technology. And the long story short, although, you know, obviously this is my opinion, is that there's a lot of bark, but there's very unlikely to be bite. And so, you know, I think if you look at just the objective facts around the cannabis industry, regardless of what Jeff Sessions kind of thinks about it personally, the train has left the station. And there's really no way to, you know, put regressive policies in place without causing a lot of harm and causing a lot of damage. And so I don't think that's going to happen. And similarly, with clean technology, the train's left the station. And so, you know, we look a lot of the renewable technologies that are on the market today, solar, wind, energy storage. They're not only increasingly price competitive with traditional fossil fuel generation sources, they're actually beating them. And that's unsubsidized. And so, you know, the future of the energy industry, and this has nothing to do with American policy, this is a global industry. The future of the energy industry is absolutely moving towards a clean energy economy. There's absolutely nothing that the Trump administration can do about that. But, you know, they can certainly slow, you know, American progress and sort of the chunk of the market that American innovation is leading. They could slow that down. To date, that's not happening, though. And I think, in fact, what we've seen is that, you know, as some of these new EPA, you know, regressive policies have come out, the clean tech industry has actually doubled down and in a lot of ways is doing better now than they were prior to the election. Mm. So short answer is I'm not really that worried about it.
Well, that's good news. Well, Tim Hade, thank you for giving us this information. And tell our listeners a little bit about the company, how they can find out more online, perhaps, or other contact information.
Sure. So scalemicrogridsolutions.com. You can also get us on Twitter at Scale Energy. And on our website, you'll find an email address for us. Get us on LinkedIn. We're all over the place. So we look forward to hearing from people in the community, and we'd love to work with you.
Tim Hade, thanks so much for joining us. This is great stuff. I love the idea of making our cannabis industry a leader in clean energy technology. I think we're the ones that can do it. And thank you for your service in the Air Force as well. We appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Russ. I appreciate you having me on. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Freedom Leaf Preview with Steve Bloom from Freedom Leaf Magazine. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Thank you.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
One of the fastest growing segments of the adult use cannabis market out there is the use of pre-filled vaporizer pens, these vaporizer cartridges that you can add to a battery and enjoy cannabis oils through vaporization rather than smoking. But there is a bit of controversy involved in the vape cartridge market, particularly with the thinning agents that are used to make the substance more vaporizable. Cannabis oil is a very thick kind of a liquid, and to get it to vaporize better, sometimes thinning agents are used. And we are beginning to find some problems with some of the most popular thinning agents on the market out there. And joining us here to discuss the issue is Steve White, the CEO of Harvest Inc., joined by Matthew DiDonato, who's the Director of Research and Evaluation. They've got some important new research to share with us. Steve and Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Russ.
Thanks for having us.
Steve, let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about Harvest Inc. and what your role is with respect to these vape pens?
Sure. Harvest is a multi-state company. We hold licenses in four states currently. We operate dispensaries, cultivation facilities, and production facilities. We also produce a vaporizable product called Dream Steam. And so we produce that currently in two states.
And Matthew, I understand that you guys have done a lot of research on this issue and have some information to share with our listeners regarding some of the different types of thinning agents used in these vaporizer cartridges.
Yep, that's right. So, you know, when we created Dream Steam, we had made the decision to use medium chain triglycerides as the agent. And I'm sure you're familiar with the research coming out recently from the e-cigarette industry that had looked at the carbonyls that are produced when heating some of the thinning agents they use there. So we thought it was important to sort of do the same thing, but within the context of the cannabis industry, sort of check the thinning agents that we use and that other people use at temperatures that are more suitable for cannabis vaporization and see sort of what results came of that to sort of decide whether or not the product that we were producing was a safe one or if we should sort of change course and change what we were doing.
So in the research, what types of thinning agents were evaluated and what were the results?
So we took two that are commonly used in the e-cigarette industry and also commonly used in the cannabis industry. There's propylene glycol and vegetable glycerin. Sometimes you'll see it referred in the literature as glycerol. And then the other two that are more common in the cannabis industry are polyethylene glycol 400, and then the one that we chose to use, medium chain triglycerides. And what we did was we sent these substances to a smoking lab in North Carolina to do the testing for us. And they heated each of these substances to a temperature of 230 degrees Celsius, which if you look at the literature, it's right about the point where cannabis starts to combust, but also right above the point where all of the terpenes and the cannabinoids vaporize. And what we found was we tested for three specific compounds, acetaldehyde, formaldehyde, and acrolein. Those are the ones that are most commonly tested for in the e-cigarette industry as well. And what we found, or what we thought was most interesting, was that polyethylene glycol, also abbreviated as PEG, we found that it produced quite a bit of formaldehyde when it was heated at that temperature. In fact, it produced so much it was comparable to smoking a cigarette. So one pull, essentially, on this PEG 400 isolate produced almost as much formaldehyde as smoking one cigarette.
Just one draw is equal to a whole cigarette.
Right. So something to keep in mind is that these were isolates, so they're not mixed with cannabis oil. So it's deck is stacked a little bit against those substances in terms of, you know, it's not really a real 100% realistic scenario.
Gotcha.
But it's still, I think, important information to disseminate. And talking with some other people, they've actually seen cartridges that are mixed with, you know, cannabis oils mixed with PEG where it's mostly PEG. So there are scenarios out there where people are, you know, inhaling large amounts of formaldehyde when using these products.
So the glycol products, the PEG and the 400 that you mentioned, were the ones that were creating all these noxious byproducts that we're worried about. What about vegetable glycerin or these triglycerides?
So we found basically across the board with those two, they produced low levels of all three of those compounds. So it seemed like, you know, the petroleum-based substances were producing more of the nasty sort of after effects.
So it sounds to me as if wise consumers would avoid those glycol-type products and move towards something like what you're making with Harvest Inc. in your product. Steve, tell us a little bit about your product, the Dream Steam.
Yeah, Dream Steam is, like we mentioned before, it's a vaporizable cannabis product. There are different strength levels, different potencies. So it's offered at four different potency levels, including one that doesn't have any thinning agent at all. So that one's just a pure cannabis oil. The others are thinned with varying levels of medium chain triglycerides in order to get to a very specific potency level.
Is there any quantifiable difference in the user experience between the glycols and the triglycerides as far as how much vapor is produced, how strong the effect is, etc.?
That's not something that we've studied. We can only talk about, you know, anecdotally that potency of the oil is the most important aspect or the biggest driver of the patient experience. There are some different flavors, I think, that are produced by the different thinning agents and different levels of harshness, I guess. So there are some differences that people would experience mixing those agents with the same cannabis oil.
I see. Well, this is great information for our audience. Of course, many people that turn to cannabis do so because they're in failing health and they need it as medicine. And those that use it for personal reasons might be choosing it because it's safer than alcohol. So it's a good idea to make sure that you're picking the safest cannabis vapes that you can. Steve, before we let you go, tell our listeners how they can get a hold of some Dream Steam, maybe your website or other contact information.
Yeah, it could be reached through harvestinc.com. We also have a Dream Steam website, dreamsteamvape.com as well.
All right, thank you. Steve White, CEO, and Matthew DiDonato, the Director of Research and Evaluation for Harvest Inc. Great information on these thinning agents, and good luck to you in the future.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for what you're doing.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. Subscribe now for free at mjagenda.com.
Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platshorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
The Marijuana Agenda. Kevin Sabet's boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaolin Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for our Government at Work, the latest in cannabis reform at the local, state, federal, and international level. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Athletes have long been held out as role models in our society, but now the conflict between societal disapproval of marijuana use and the emerging science of cannabis medicine, especially as it relates to chronic pain and head trauma suffered by football players and martial artists, is leading some athletes to take a stand. The Gridiron Cannabis Coalition presents this edition of Cannabis Sports Medicine.
Yeah, I want to make an announcement. As I said, I'm a CTE, concussion advocate, and CBD and THC, knowing the benefits of it. And I've had so many peers of mine and current players, because I'm still around the game, that have asked me, you know, what is out there and what can we take? And I told them, from our perspective, help was on the way. Well, today I want to announce that Medical Marijuana Inc. is launching HempMed Sports, and we're going to have the first product to meet all the qualifications for a world anti-doping for a cannabis product. And it has, I mean, that's kind of big, guys. It's going to have no THC in it, and the 207 banned substance on the world anti-doping list is not there. So that means every athlete in the four major leagues, college athletes and high school athletes, can take this product. There's going to be a water product, there's going to be a pill, there's going to be a cream for joints and what have you, and it's definitely going to help older ex-players like myself that wake up every morning with the creeps and bumps. But we're launching this product in March. One of the things that we're going to do, have a program for the athletes that cannot afford it, we're going to give it to them. But we definitely are going to have a... We're definitely going to have a program for ex-athletes and current athletes, and so as early as next year, you're going to have current athletes in all four major league sports that's using a cannabis-based product, and that's the announcement. Thank you.
Doesn't get any better than that. So I think what we'll do is we'll kind of pass along some questions, and why don't you tell us about the NFL's pain relief and pain management protocol? Who wants to take that one on?
I'll start. So, talking about the NFL. So, when you have a bump or a bruise, that's bad enough that you go see the trainer. Because I learned in my career that it's a waste of time to go see the trainer. Because when you see the doctor, you sit down and then say you have a knee injury, he'll manipulate your knee to make sure that it's sturdy enough, and then basically he'll give you strong anti-inflammatories and say take one of these every night before you go to bed. And if the coach gives you a hard time because you're not giving 100%, tell them that you're clear to go half speed. So basically, they just give you pills. And I remember for me one day, I was sitting in the training room watching the players on the team come in one by one, each guy getting a pill from the doctor. And I realized, wow, we have to take pills on a daily basis just to practice. And that's when I promised myself, you know, I got to find a different way, because I know if I have to take these pills every day to practice, it's not going to be good for my body when I'm done playing.
You know, and I kind of want to, you know, expound on that, because he's right about the pills. There's a pharmaceutical regimen that guys get into starting in training camp, and it ends at the end of the season most of the time. You know, you have to take the anti-inflammatory starting during the week just to get through the practices and what have you, and then for the game, They're going to give you pain blockers. I know Toradol was big when I played. I know some teams abandoned, but some teams are still doing it. And after a game, you're taking the pain pills. And then you start this over again. And you're doing this up from 16 to 18 to 22 weeks. So that's why we want to get guys off the pharmaceuticals and get them on a plant-based, get them on some plant-based products. Because as I've said before, and this is one thing that I keep preaching, is I've seen guys leave the game addicted to pharmaceuticals, but I've never seen a guy leave the game addicted to marijuana.
Now, when I first came into the league, you'd walk into the locker room and there'd be literally bowls of pills, uppers, downers, you know, for whatever mood you were in. You could take whatever you wanted, and they were freely given out. I tried to get off them. I couldn't. I played for 15 years. I had 18 surgeries, so I was pretty much eating painkillers all my whole career. I couldn't sleep. I was having a lot of trouble sleeping. You're going to the bathroom. Those things will lock you up. You don't go to the bathroom for weeks at a time. It's not good for you. But I've never had any side effects smoking herb or eating the edibles. I mean, it's like I said earlier. It's a medicinal herb. It's not a drug. And finally, if we can get over the stigma of that, I think we'll be a lot better off in this country.
Great. Okay, so here's a question that you probably don't get asked that often, but what percentage of NFL players do you feel really take cannabis medicinally or recreationally?
So the question is, what percentage of players use cannabis medicinally or recreationally? Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, for me, I think with people who aren't as educated, and I think most players in the NFL are not as educated, I don't think a lot of people really recognize the difference between recreational and medicinal. I mean, and again, when I played and I got in trouble with cannabis, it was over 10 years ago. And for me, you know, I'd get home from practice in the evening, and my body would be hurting, and my mind would be racing, thinking about the game. And for me, I would use cannabis just to relax, to chill, and to allow myself to get some sleep and to allow my body to recover. But everyone, all the information I was getting from the NFL, from my coaches, from my teammates, is that I was using it recreationally. And so I think that's one of the reasons it's important to get the information out there so people can be educated so they know for themselves. Am I using this medicinally or recreationally?
And one thing I want to say is this guy sitting next to me, I think in 15 to 20 years we're going to look back and we're going to see him as a trendsetter and a pioneer, and we were wrong. And I call him the father of cannabis in sports backstage, and I believe that he is. What percentage of guys use it? You know, I know a lot of guys smoke it recreationally. I can't put a percentage on that. But guys have, this is the information age, and guys have much more information than we had when I played. And I believe, and I know some guys that vape and take edibles instead of taking those pharmaceuticals. Because those, like you said, all the side effects that are there and they're addictive. You don't want to do that for 7 days a week for 16 or 17 weeks. So I know some guys, they come home on Wednesday, they have dinner, and then they go watch, study their film, and they vape or take an edible, and then they wake up the next morning, and they go to practice. There's no side effect. But you wake up the next morning, you have to coat your stomach and get something to eat, and then you have to take your pharmaceuticals. There are a small percentage of guys that are educated and doing it medicinally, but I believe that's going to grow and change.
And like I said earlier, this plant has been demonized so bad back in the 40s and 50s, and how it got lumped in with cocaine and heroin is beyond me. But it's a medicinal herb. You know, it's a very pliable product. It can make clothes, it can make rope, it can make you feel better. And that's the reason we're here, because we all feel a lot better now that we've gotten off the pharmaceuticals and doing something that's grown naturally. It grows naturally everywhere in the world. And there's a lot of products. Cocaine plant. Cocaine plant's not bad for you. It's when man gets a hold of it and puts chemicals in it, it becomes bad. But this stuff, it's naturally grown everywhere in the world. And if God didn't want you to have it, he wouldn't have put it here. So enjoy it.
So I I think everybody here is all about breaking down stereotypes. We've seen children, infants, people around the world who are benefiting from this plant that has been around for a long, long time. How would you advise people to get over those stereotypes of being associated with cannabis?
Well, just be around it, because some of the stereotypes and negative connotation is, you know, somebody that smokes marijuana or uses it is lazy, unmotivated, unfocused, and all those other things. And that comes from, like Jim said, from the 30s and 40s and reefer madness and all that. But, you know, I know plenty of athletes that smoke marijuana since they were in high school. I smoked marijuana when I was in high school, and I was able to hold down a job. I was able to go to college and be able to sacrifice and do the hard work to get to the NFL. I haven't seen a lazy, unfocused guy. And so, you know, just being around guys and us getting the word out, it changes that, and I believe it is changing. I believe there is a movement in this country, because I think we're kind of behind on the research and of the cannabis plant, and so we need to get up to speed.
And I think a big part of overcoming the stereotype is people just being more outspoken and being themselves. You know, I think what hampered me for a long time is I started to believe the stereotypes, even when I was using. And I didn't really start using cannabis until I got traded to the Dolphins in 2002. And I wasn't using a whole bunch. I was really using it to medicate and to deal with playing in the NFL. And that year I led the NFL in rushing. And so, you know, I started to overcome the stereotype myself. And I think the biggest thing to overcome the stereotype is stop believing it and start living something different. And I think if we open our minds and we're willing to put our necks out there and be ourselves, I think we'll prove to ourselves that we're okay, and we'll prove how wonderful this plant is, and also I think we'll show other people.
Now, there's no documented cases of cannabis killing anybody, but there's plenty of documentation about these pharmaceuticals that kill hundreds of thousands of people a year, and all they do is take them off the market. They don't even get a slap on the wrist. So this is the way to go. It's natural. Like I said, enjoy it, because I certainly have.
All right. Now, here's a little more serious question. If you could advise the NFL on cannabis use or a cannabis policy, what would you say?
Say, let them have it. Get them off these damn pills that everybody's taking. They're ridiculous. You know, I was eating over 100 Percocets a month, even after I retired. I couldn't get out of bed without taking some pills. And as soon as I retired, I had my whole body tested, my liver functions, my kidneys, and everything else. And luckily, they weren't that bad. But now they're like a newborn now, since I've been off those pills for 20 years.
Exactly. And like I said earlier during the introduction, if there's ever a sport that needs to, you know, have use or experiment with cannabis for pain relief, it's football. And I have spoken to our, you know, players union, NFL PA. And whenever there's a dangerous industry, and I believe football is a dangerous industry, it's the union that leads the way on the safety issues. And I've talked to them about they have something called TUEs, which is temporary use exemption, and they let the players use banned substance like Adderall and Ritalin. Why not try it with the teams that are in Oregon and Colorado with some of the players there? Because I know some of the players for those teams are using marijuana, but let's see if we can do it medicinally for these guys. That, you know, that's a start, and then see how it works out and follow the science.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. Subscribe now for free at mjagenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platschorn's TheSilverTour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at HempInc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from TheSilverTour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at HempInc.com.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville with The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for The Marijuana Policy Insider with Marijuana Policy Project. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of
people don't smoke marijuana.
Not a lot of time left in this first hour, and I have promised to keep the first hour dedicated to marijuana, but I have just got to say something about Montana Republican candidate who is in a special election today in the state of Montana for the vacant House seat given up by our current Interior Secretary, the Montana Republican Greg Gianforte, who body slammed a reporter from The Guardian. It's been all over the news. I'm sure you've heard the tape. I am sure you're caught up on what's going there with the body slam. But I bring this to the rant today because there's also a marijuana angle in this. Yes, beyond just the idea that body slam Greg needs to hork a few bong loads and calm the fuck down. Aside from that, there is a marijuana angle. As reported by Normal.org on their blog, his opponent, Rob Quist, who's a country music playing cowboy hat wearing political newbie, is supportive of marijuana legalization. So this body slam by the Republican that could hurt his chances in the election might bode well for adding one more congressman to the Congressional Cannabis Caucus. So if you have the chance to vote in Montana, they have same-day registration in Montana. You can go right to the polls, register to vote, cast your vote for the Democrat, Rob Quist. And another thing about this Gianforte, aside from assaulting a reporter and then getting his flunkies to lie about it when there were eyewitnesses and an audio tape, beyond that, you want to know why this guy thought that would fly? Because he's kooky. He's one of these magical thinking people. This guy's a multimillionaire who made his bucks in the technology world and then moved up to Montana a couple decades ago, and he funded, I forget the exact number of millions he gave, but he funded a young earth creationism museum in Montana. No lie, these people that think that the earth is only 6,000 years old because the Bible says so, funded a museum where it shows dinosaurs getting on Noah's Ark. Okay? So somebody who can
completely withdraw from all the realms of paleontology, archaeology, geology, everything we know from science, and believe there were dinosaurs on an ark has got a few screws missing. Montana, please, please, as my next-door neighbor growing up in Idaho, we have a lot in common. I just hope you come to your senses and that all those early votes that came in don't tip this the wrong way. What a sad day it would be if Body Slam Greg makes it to the U.S. House. That's all the time we got for this first hour. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and SoundCloud. And follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it.